Hello everybody, this is Tantra FM and I'm your host Valentino. Today we shall be dealing with the following articles. Nonverbal sexual signals. There are numerous very subtle nonverbal sexual signals that men and women can send to each other. The power of a glance, the accidental brush of a hand, or the touch of a foot. It is useful for both men and women to know these nonverbal sexual signals very well, because this way, they may communicate consciously through them, like a language. If you're a woman and you use one of these nonverbal sexual signals consciously in order to attract a man, it will be a lot more powerful than if you used it unconsciously. And if you are a man, you have to know how to give a conscious response to the nonverbal sexual signal received from a woman in order to obtain the desired effect. So, let us introduce you to the stages of nonverbal sexual intimacy. Our next article is entitled Making Love Without Intercourse. How is this possible, you ask? Kissing, cuddling, and touching are an important part of lovemaking, and couples that run their lives in this way use every opportunity to share such affection. The slightest touch or pat can be worth a thousand words, and a hug at just the right time makes words redundant. Sometimes these little intimacies simply say, I love you. Yet, on other occasions, it is clear that they are preludes to some sort of sexual activity. The couple in tune with each other know without saying which is which, and use such teasing, even perhaps to some level of arousal, as a sort of workup to intercourse later. Consider yourselves fortunate, because today we will be reviewing three articles from the Law of Resonance. Here are some examples. Vibrations in living matter. How do these vibrations behave in living matter? Do we have receivers for each gamut of vibrations? Do we and can we perceive all vibrations? The vibratory energies are classified according to a scale of vibratory levels described by their frequency of vibration. The frequency defines the quality or type of energy. The amplitude defines the quantity of the energy. These vibratory frequencies are dependent on the inherent or intrinsic existing as an essential characteristic properties of the emitter and receiver. Thus, for example, the vibratory frequencies received by the ear are between 16 and 20,000 cycles a second. The eye receives vibrations between 1 followed by 14 zeros and 1 followed by 15 zeros cycles per second. This way, every sense organ has a specific function and can only interpret certain determined frequencies. The range of perception of our five senses is extremely limited compared to the whole range of frequencies found in the universe. So, besides the five sensory organs, the human being also has other senses, known as receivers of vibratory energy, which most of the time are latent or dormant. For example, clairvoyance, but they can all be awakened through appropriate training. Here is another example. The quantitative and qualitative elements of consciousness. In vibratory terms, consciousness is the aptitude of a system to respond to stimuli or information. This system can be complex, for example, a human being, or very simple, a simple cell. If we will hit an atom with a ray of energy, the atom will respond in a certain way. When we stop this stimulus, the atom comes back to its initial state. The response is a manifestation of the consciousness of the atom. The same experiment can be done with a cell, an animal, or human being. Of course, the higher developed systems will react in a more complex way than the more primitive systems. Therefore, the more complex a system is, the broader gamut of responses it will have. So, since a human being is basically a copy of the universe, the number of possible responses increases enormously. We can say that the number of possible responses represents the quantitative aspect of consciousness. Now, maybe to some of you, all this will seem artificial, because most people associate the idea of consciousness with living beings only. I assure you this happens because of our limitations and ignorance, and nothing else. And finally, we touch on the absolute. In order to understand the nature of the absolute and of the relative aspects of what we call real, we must first make an analogy, which cannot be taken literally because the absolute cannot be defined. So, let's imagine an endless and extremely deep ocean. The surface of the water is so peaceful and calm that it is almost invisible. This is the reference, the basis of all comparisons. Let us now imagine that on the surface of the ocean, there suddenly appear waves which create vibrations. These vibrations make the almost invisible surface of the water become visible. Analogically, when a vibration is produced into the absolute, it becomes manifested and visible. We call this relative reality. The thing that must not be forgotten is that the ocean is the unifying element which penetrates and harmonizes all relative realities. That is why the ocean can be called absolute existence or pure consciousness. And last but not least, we shall be performing a meditation on the state of divine happiness. One of the things we all pursue and want.
Hello world, this is Tantra FM, your guide to sacred love. I am your host, Mystique. Nonverbal sexual signals. There are numerous very subtle nonverbal sexual signals that men and women can send to each other. The power of a glance, the accidental brush of a hand, the touch of a foot. It is useful for both men and women to know these nonverbal sexual signals very well, because this way they may communicate consciously through the nonverbal sexual language. If you are a woman and you use one of the nonverbal sexual signals consciously in order to attract a man, it will be more powerful than if you used it unconsciously. And if you are a man, you have to know how to give a conscious response to a nonverbal sexual signal sent by a woman, so as to obtain the desired effect. So, let me introduce you to the stages of nonverbal sexual intimacy. Stage 1. Courtship readiness. Eyes brighten. Muscles become tense. Body becomes more erect. Complexion reddens. Stage 2. Positioning for courtship. Personal speech encroached on, then merged. Stance leans toward each other. Speech, tone and volume lower. Stage 3. Action of appeal and invitation. Preening. Leakage. Autoerotic touching. Accidental touching. Deliberate stroking. Push me pull you tactics. Flirtatious glances, gaze holding, head cocking, rolling the pelvis, leg crossing and uncrossing to expose the thigh, hand on hip, wrist and palm exposure, protruding breasts, slow stroking of upper thigh and side of thigh with fingers, softer facial expression, open smile, echoing and mirroring.
This is Tantra FM, a step into bliss. I'm your host, Valentino. Making love without intercourse. Kissing, cuddling, and touching are all an important part of lovemaking. And couples that run their lives in this way use every opportunity to share such affection. The slightest touch or pat can be worth a thousand words, and a hug at just the right moment makes words redundant. Sometimes these little intimacies simply say, I love you, but on other occasions it is clear that they are preludes to some sort of sexual activity. The couple in tune with each other know without saying which is which, and use such teasing, even perhaps to some level of arousal, as a sort of workup to intercourse later on. Extended foreplay. This kind of lovemaking then becomes like an extended foreplay. Both know will end in lovemaking sometime in the near future. If you run your intimate life this way, lovemaking takes on a rather different level of importance. It is now no longer the be-all and end-all of all the intimacies you share. This means that you will be able to cope much better with the ups and downs of your sexual appetites and, being mutually attuned, detect sexual interest early on and know how to act on it. Then, when you do have intercourse, it is much more meaningful because it takes place against a background of loving interest in one another. Not only are inequalities and variations in sexual appetite better coped with, but the occasional failure, rather than becoming a disaster, is kept in perspective because it is understood that the relationship has far more going for it than whether or not genital contact is always good. Secrets. Lovers in long-standing relationships sometimes find they can communicate better without words. They seem to know what the other is thinking and feeling. Shared secrets help to make this a secret society. The woman may whisper to her man while they are on a dance floor that she is wearing his favorite underwear, for example. Accidentally touching your lover's body in a certain place or in a particular way can have a devastating effect. Some couples can achieve the same impact with just a look. Many couples have a private language that they use even in front of others, as they tell one another about their feelings, arousal, or their anticipation of erotic things to come, which all add to their excitement. All of this makes such a couple much less likely to suffer from jealousies because they flirt with each other and look to one another to answer their needs. They do not see members of the opposite sex as threatening because they know that what they have between them is vastly more valuable than anything a quickie relationship could offer. If all this seems like nothing more than a fantasy to you, there are ways of improving things. Start off by going back to courtship behavior. Many couples have never really courted, taking every opportunity to show love in different ways. Give one another presents for no reason. They don't have to be expensive. It's the thought that matters. Kiss more often. Telephone just to say I love you. Leave love notes around where they'll be found by your lover. Go out with one another as if it was your first date as teenagers. Really try to please one another as if you were just starting to date. You may be surprised how much you've taken each other for granted over the years, and how stale the caring and love for one another has become. It is helpful in any loving relationship to remember the airline motto, "We never forget that you have a choice." There are many couples that let things slip, perhaps year after year, becoming more and more lazy and thoughtless, only to find, when they go back to courtship, they've all but forgotten how to deal with one another in this way. As with so many things in life, practice makes perfect, and over the weeks, you will become more proficient at courting one another. With luck and effort, the combination of making courtship a priority and your increased experiences of life will reap you a far richer harvest than would have been possible when you were first going out at the beginning of your relationship. Sensual holidays. One of the most fruitful ways of making all this happen is to organize sensual holidays. A sensual holiday can last from an evening to a weekend. The main purpose is to get away from your normal day-to-day routine, both in and out of bed, and to really court one another. You can prepare for the holiday beforehand to get the best out of it. Ideas include the uses of herbal aphrodisiacs such as ginseng, yohimbe, breakfast in bed, a sensual massage, lovemaking in an unusual place, a novel type of position for lovemaking you know your lover would like, or an evening devoted to your lover's every whim. Each couple will have their own ideas as to what suits them, or they've always wanted to do. Send your hints some days before the holiday so your lover has time to prepare, if necessary. This also helps build up anticipation and excitement for the holiday. Remember that none of this needs to be expensive. The whole thing can take place at home with a special dinner or outing, just for the two of you. Whatever you do and wherever you do it, the main thing is to give yourselves over to one another totally, and to aim to do such things that please and delight. Talk about it afterwards to see what worked well and what didn't. It is best to take it in turns to arrange such holidays so each lover has the opportunity to call the shots and decide what they want. Massage. Sensual massage is a wonderful way of lovemaking without intercourse. This form of loving contact is often underestimated. there are a few things a couple can experience together that allow them to be more in touch with themselves and to communicate at every level, better than a loving and sensual massage. Whether or not this becomes an erotic massage is up to you, but even if one does lead to the other, you still don't have to end up having intercourse. You could stimulate each other or simply cuddle and kiss. Full body alert. Sight, sound, smell, and taste are powerful aphrodisiacs. Exploit them to the fullest extent possible. Right from the time we are babies, most of us use fewer of our senses than we should. In learning to please one another without intercourse, it can be helpful to look at how each sense could be better used to serve lovemaking. Here are some ideas. The power of aromas. Use perfume, perfume soaps, scented oils for massage, incense sticks, flowers, room perfumes, and anything else you can think of, not all at once, of course, that helps enhance your sense of smell. Remember that if you perfume yourself too heavily, you will mask the natural odors that can be a turn-on for your lover. Make sure you are clean and washed, but not so squeaky clean that your natural smells are obliterated. Learn, perhaps for the first time, how each part of your lover's body smells. Sound effects. The sound your lover makes can be quite a turn-on as you make love. The little groans, sighs, and moans that say I love you are all valuable clues to how things are going. With the lights off, learn to recognize how your lover's sexual arousal cycle is progressing just by sound alone. Take delight in the sounds of your bodies reacting with each other. Use beautiful music to accompany lovemaking. Seeing it all. Take delight in looking at your lover going about their daily tasks. Really notice what it is you love about him or her. Compliment each other's appearance and show appreciation for things that please you. Acquiring the taste. Get to know how your lover tastes by licking all over. Taste mouths, faces, sweats, genital secretions, and so on. This is intimately tied up with the smelling exercise since taste and smell are so closely interlinked. Tactile development. Experiment with all kinds of tactile sensations, using not only your bodies, but also various foods, clothing, vibrators, and so on. And finally, good luck. The Law of Resonance, Part 3. We can continue and visualize the same phenomenon in three dimensions. Let's say we have a glass cube full of a certain liquid in which tiny particles are uniformly suspended. See figure 3 on our site. By making all six sides of the cube vibrate simultaneously, we will notice that the particles in suspension will accumulate in certain areas, or nodes, giving birth to symmetrical 3D shapes. This looks very much alike to the structure of a crystal. In this case, we created a system of 3D stationary waves. We can say that these stationary waves are in fact the sound of that 3D structure. This shows that there is a direct link between form and sound. The stationary waves created order in a substance that had no definite form. It was amorphous. When a vibration energizes a substance, it will produce certain zones of fullness and of emptiness. In other words, zones which have the nature of a particle or node, and zones that have the nature of a wave or energetic field. This complementary wave particle is a fundamental duality of the whole manifestation. If we look carefully at waves in a pond, we observe that even though water moves up and down in a wave, it, the water, does not advance. In other words, it stays exactly in the same place. This becomes even more clear if there is a little piece of wood floating in the water. The wood moves up and down, but it does not go anywhere. In other words, a wave can travel long distances, but water stays exactly where it was before. Therefore, we can say that a wave is a disturbance that propagates through a medium. The medium does not advance in the direction of the disturbance. A wave is something that can travel from one place to another without being a material particle or a flux of particles. The vibratory levels of the universe. Waves manifest in all phenomena of the universe, from everyday noises whose frequencies are from a few cycles a second to tens of thousands of cycles per second, to radio waves whose frequencies are between 500 and 15 million cycles a second, to cosmic radiations whose frequencies are over 1 followed by 22 zeros cycles a second. The mental and psychic waves have even greater frequencies, but the nature of these vibratory processes is similar. Their frequencies depend on the quality and refinement of our thoughts and feelings. For example, the frequency of a feeling of love is much higher than the frequency of a feeling of sadness. According to Dr. Arnaud, a French scientist, all vibrations of the physical world are between almost 0 and 1 followed by 22 zeros cycles per second. This represents the lower octave of the universe, or the physical world. According to the same scientist, the vibrations of the astral and mental world are between 12 followed by 32 zeros and 96 followed by 39 zeros cycles per second. In the Eastern tradition, it is known that these frequencies continue to rise as we access higher levels of manifestation. Vibrations in living matter. How do these vibrations behave in living matter? Do we have receivers for each gamut of vibration? Do we and can we perceive all vibrations? The vibratory energies are classified according to a scale of vibratory levels, described by their frequency of vibration. The frequency defines the quality or type of energy. The amplitude defines the quantity of energy. The vibratory frequencies are dependent on their inherent or intrinsic characteristics, properties, in other words, of the emitter or the receiver. Thus, for example, the vibratory frequencies received by the ear are between 16 and 20,000 cycles per second. The eye receives vibrations between 1 followed by 14 zeros and 1 followed by 15 zeros cycles a second. In this way, every sense organ has a specific function and can only interpret certain determined frequencies. The range of perception of our five senses is extremely limited compared to the whole range of frequencies found in the universe. Besides the five sensory organs, the human being also has other senses, or receivers of vibratory energy, which most of the time are in their latent or dormant forms, for example clairvoyance, but which can be awakened through appropriate training. This is Tantra FM, the light that sets you free. I am your host, Valentino. The Law of Resonance, Part 4. The quantitative and qualitative elements of consciousness. In vibratory terms, consciousness is the aptitude of a system to respond to stimuli or information. This system can be complex, for example, a human being, or very simple, for example, a single cell. If we hit an atom with a ray of energy, the atom will respond in a certain way. When we stop this stimulus, the atom comes back to its initial state. This response is a manifestation of the consciousness of the atom. The same experiment can be done with a cell, an animal, or a human being. Of course, the higher developed systems will react in a more complex way than the more primitive systems. The more complex a system is, the broader gamut of responses it will have. Since the human being is basically a copy of the universe, the number of possible responses increases enormously. We can say that the number of possible responses represents the quantitative aspect of consciousness. Maybe to some of you, all this will seem artificial, because most people associate the idea of consciousness with living beings only. This happens because of our limitations and ignorance. We restrict the meaning of the term living being only to those beings that can reproduce themselves. An intelligent person can see that this vision is totally arbitrary, because what we are doing is projecting our own behavior onto other systems and judging them according to our standards. According to those standards, atoms, for example, are not alive, just because they do not exist and behave like us. Thousands of years ago, Eastern wisdom defined the concepts of spanda, or vibration or flash of the divine consciousness, as being the basis for the entire manifestation of the universe. In this vision, consciousness is everywhere, even in the most insignificant particle of matter. In other words, all of matter contains consciousness, and therefore life, in various proportions. The power that hides, to various degrees, the consciousness of everything that exists is called Maya, the veil of illusion, the presence of consciousness represents the qualitative aspect of consciousness, and this aspect is expressed by the frequency of vibration. The ancient Eastern sages, as a result of their personal experimentation with the deepest level of consciousness, structured the human being and the universe in 7 octaves of vibration, corresponding to the 7 chakras. These levels precisely express the quality of consciousness. A system has an activity of energetic exchange with its surrounding world, or metabolism, as well. This activity shows the intensity and range of energy exchanges between a system and its environment. If this energetic activity does not extend over a certain range of frequencies, the reality corresponding to those frequencies does not exist for that system. Therefore, in nature, there are specters of relative realities for every category of system that manifests a certain level of consciousness. We can now understand that even a stone has its own consciousness, and therefore its own relative reality. The beings from the superior levels of the universe can interact with their surroundings to a much greater extent than the beings from the lower levels. As we rise to a superior level of existence, the magnitude of the reality experienced and our freedom grows exponentially. The Law of Resonance, Part 5. In order to understand the nature of the absolute and of the relative aspects of what we call real, we will make an analogy, which must not be taken literally since the absolute cannot be defined. Let's imagine an endless and extremely deep ocean. The surface of the water is so peaceful and calm that it is almost invisible. This is the reference, the basis for all comparisons. Let us now imagine that on the surface of the ocean, there suddenly appear waves which create vibrations. These vibrations make the almost invisible surface of the water become visible. Analogically, when a vibration is produced into the absolute, it becomes manifested and visible. We call this relative reality. The thing that must not be forgotten is that the ocean is the unifying element which penetrates and harmonizes all relative realities. That is why the ocean can be called absolute existence or pure consciousness. We can produce waves on the surface, but the more profound levels will never truly be disturbed. They will forever be in a state of peace and calm. We can say that big and noisy waves of low frequency correspond to the lower levels of relative reality, and the fine and quick ripples, or high frequency, correspond to the higher levels of manifestation. If we will ask a quantum physicist what an electron is made of, he will answer that an electron is a pattern of waves who vibrate at a certain frequency which determine its energy. But if we will ask that same physicist what is that which vibrates, he will answer that nobody knows. Using the analogy with the ocean, we can say that the electron is a wave on the surface of that ocean. This wave vibrates in comparison with the deep, still levels of pure consciousness. Therefore, we will be able to answer the question of what vibrates in an electron by saying that a unit of pure consciousness vibrates there. When we understand that reality is made of two aspects, one is at the bottom of the ocean and the other is at the surface which vibrates, we realize that spirit and matter emerge from the same fundamental essence. Solid matter is expressed as the big, slow waves on the surface of the ocean, low frequency, big amplitude, which is a more restricted manifestation of consciousness, whereas the mind, for example, is like a very fine and quick ripple, high frequency, small amplitude, which is a more intense and free manifestation of consciousness. Going deeper into this analogy, we can define the absolute as being an infinitely delicate vibration of practically zero amplitude and infinite frequency. In this situation, we have a perfectly calm surface which contains a tremendous energy. We call this energy creative potential. This is very powerful and extremely refined energy, and it's also endowed with wisdom, which confers to every system an aptitude of auto-organization, allowing it to function as a whole. The more reduced the amplitude is, the higher the energy, or frequency, and the closer the peaks of the vibratory wave. When the vibrations become fast, and the peaks are so close that they become identified with each other, a quasi-static state is attained, in which movement remains potential. Then, the energy of the system becomes infinite. Therefore, the absolute is a state in which the opposites, peak and valley, become one. Thus, movement and rest fuse into one. The absolute crowns the hierarchy of the relative realities, and at the same time it is their source. In its transcendent form, the absolute is potentially dynamic, whereas once manifested, it becomes the source and foundation of the entire universe, from physical matter to the most subtle of realities.
Hello and welcome to Tantra FM, your guide to sacred love. I'm your host, Amaris. Let us perform a meditation with the following theme, the state of divine happiness. In order to help our concentration and to create a better resonance with the aspect we're meditating upon, we shall use proper musical support. Sit down on a chair with your spine straight, or assume a meditation pose such as Sukhasana, Vajrasana, or Padmasana. For those of you that are still unfamiliar with these positions, you can learn about them on www.shivashakti.com. Make sure your spine, your neck, and your head are in an upward position, and they form a straight line. Relax your entire body. Empty your mind and acquire a strong inner focus. Do not allow anything to disturb your concentration at this point. Start breathing deeply and rhythmically. With each inhalation, imagine that you're bringing peace and harmony into your being. Also, with each exhalation, imagine that you're eliminating all tension, stress, and anything else that might disturb you right now. Now we're ready to begin. It is time to focus our mind and meditate upon the following aspect. The state of divine happiness. Let us begin.
I hope you've enjoyed your time with us and that you will join us again for our next broadcast.